The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. And we want to say hello also to everybody who is joining us on the live stream at home and those who are tuning in through the dial-in service on the telephone. We're delighted to have everyone with us this morning. And if you're here regularly or if you're here for the first time, through whatever means you're joining us, we want to say you are so welcome. This is the place where we all come to encounter God. And today in our service, we're going to be looking at what it means to journey with God and to live one day at a time. I wanted to begin today just by saying a word of thanks to those who have varnished our floors this week. They're looking beautiful. So thank you to Ivan and to Stephen and to Jim. They look really, really well. Also wanted to just say a word at this point also about the wearing of masks. I know some people have been asking me that there has been a change in the restrictions, but the Archbishop of Armagh has issued a statement during the week encouraging everybody very strongly to continue to wear masks at our public worship. And he framed that statement in the context of how important it is to love one another, just as Jesus commanded. So even though we may feel wearing masks is an uncomfortable thing to do, it's very, very important for us, not just to protect ourselves, but to protect those who are alongside us in worship, those who may be protecting vulnerable people at home. So we want to encourage everybody, please, to continue to wear their masks. We can't enforce that strictly, but we do ask people to respect the guidance of the Archbishop and to follow in that. So the only time normally when I don't wear one is when I'm speaking or when I'm within 2 meters. So I do ask people, please, to continue to do what we can to keep each other safe, particularly as the numbers continue to rise. A couple of notices for the week that is to come. Tomorrow morning at 10:30, the funeral service of Mr. Gerald Murphy takes place here in church. Again, a number of people have been asking about coming to that service. I understand the attendance is more or less at its limit at the moment, but the service will be live streamed. And Jerry had many friends here in the church, and if people wish to watch the service, it will be on the church's YouTube channel tomorrow, streaming at 10:30, and it'll be available after that. On Thursday evening, our parish prayer meeting takes place at 7:00 over Zoom. And next Sunday, our services are morning prayer at 11 and holy baptism at 7. So as we come together to worship God this morning, we're going to stand to sing our opening hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm that is appointed for this morning is a psalm of longing for God's mercy and his pardon in our lives. And we're going to stand together to say together verses 1 to 13 of Psalm 51. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness, according to the abundance of your compassion. Blot out my offenses, wash me thoroughly from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my faults, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and righteous in your judgment. I have been wicked even from my birth, a sinner when my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth deep within me, and shall make me understand wisdom in the depths of my heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear of joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Turn your face from my sins and blot out all my misdeeds. Make me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me again the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with your gracious Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. If you'd like to be seated for our Old Testament reading. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Here ends our Old Testament reading. And we respond to that reading as we sing together our next hymn, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God.
Thank you.
Our New Testament reading today is from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians in the fourth chapter, beginning at the first verse. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Here ends our New Testament reading. As we think today of what it is to be a follower of God in our everyday lives, there are all sorts of aspects to our lives, and we hear about the different gifts that people have been given in our Bible readings this morning. But we're going to watch a little video now, which is all about generosity and how we can offer to the Lord our time, our talents, and our treasure.
Hi folks, my name is Keith Gardner. I've recently started as a fundraising officer for church growth in the diocese. We are called to be generous people in response to a generous God. Jimmy, what problems did you face within Marilyn during lockdown with regard to finances?
Sure, so whenever the lockdown began, I'm sure like many parishes, most of our revenue stream was coming in through collection plate, checks and cash coming in on Sundays. We had a very low proportion that was coming in there electronically, either through standing order or some other method. And really, when the lockdown began, it was an opportunity to allow people to give as they wanted to. There was almost a not requirement, but a push towards giving it on the Sunday morning. And what we really wanted to do was open up for any form of donation. So we started off when lockdown began, opening up a PayPal account. So people who maybe were on the fringes of the parish but did want to donate could donate to the parish or to specific appeals or funds. We had a hard push towards standing orders. So we tried to make it as easy as possible for people to set up a standing order. what we find is people are keen to give, which is a blessing, and we're so thankful that people in the parish were willing to give, and just so thankful that they're willing to take up the opportunity to switch to whatever works for them. We've moved up from a very low percentage of people giving electronically just up to just under 50% giving by some electronic methods. That's either standing order, bank transfer, or PayPal. And overall in the church, we've actually seen an uptake of 10% in our overall revenue, which we're just so thankful for.
Jamie, I understand you shared some of your expertise with other churches. Can you tell us how that worked out?
We updated our website to have information for the banks and how to set up a standing order. So I'm actually a software engineer, so web design and all that sort of thing is kind of my forte. Basil, our treasurer, kind of came to me about making this more available for other parishes in the diocese. So we took what we had on our website and kind of made it into a template so other parishes could plug and play, so to speak, into their websites. And that information would be shared with everyone then and just available for all.
In thinking about how we can be generous people in response to our generous God, there are four T's that can help us think this through. Firstly, time. We can fill our lives so full of different activities that we can squeeze out time for God and for God's mission in the world. Talents. Have you experience, skills, knowledge that you could offer our church? For example, organizational skills or teaching skills, IT or audiovisual expertise. Treasure. Money is a liquid form of God's provision for us. We can use it to enable us to enjoy the good things that God has provided us with, but also it's essential for God's mission to be taken forward in the world. Testimony. We can be generous in how we speak of others, in how we share our lives with others, and indeed in how we tell the story of what God has done in our own lives. Over the next 5 years, the diocese is planning to take forward initiatives in discipleship, leadership, and evangelistic outreach. If you would be willing to help us by sharing your time, talents, treasure, and testimony, we would be very grateful for you to get in touch with me through generosity@downdromoradiocese.org. Thank you for listening, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
So now we're going to stand together to affirm our faith in a God who is generous to us as we share the words of the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. In our special collect prayer for today, the ninth Sunday after Trinity, we hear again of God's generosity towards us as he sends his Spirit. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church, open our hearts to the riches of his grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And as we prepare to receive God's word into our lives, that's the theme of our next hymn, Rise and Hear, the Lord is Speaking. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In my line of work, it's always interesting to have a conversation with people who are genuinely curious about finding out more about the Christian faith and the Christian life. And although less and less people are probably coming to church today than in previous generations, I do find that a respectful curiosity still exists about the life of faith. And our Old Testament reading today touches in on what is for me one of the most challenging and radical parts of living the Christian life, and that is the challenge of living one day at a time. One of the themes that runs throughout Scripture that I find helpful is the idea that each one of our lives is a story that's being written and shaped by God as we open our hearts and our lives to Him. And as we catch sight of this truth, it brings a whole new dimension to our lives. And the first thing that we discover is that God is deeply interested in all that's going on for us. And secondly, we discover that to each one of us, as we heard in our second reading, He has given different giftings and skills. And then He has a unique purpose and plan for each one of us to fulfill under His direction and guidance. And so we might ask then, how does my story speak of God's work in my life? What direction ought I to be taking? And it's in this context that living life one day at a time becomes quite a significant challenge to us. In our Old Testament reading, we get that picture of the Christian life as a journey. And as the children of Israel journey through the desert to the promised land, they have no idea how long they will be traveling for. And it is, in a way, a question that's troubled children in every generation who have ever traveled with their parents in the family car to visit friends or relations or go on holiday. Maybe you've heard this. Are we nearly there yet? Are we nearly there yet? And many of us then carry those kinds of patterns into our Christian life. We might have had a powerful experience of faith, maybe in our childhood or our teenage years, or maybe even later in life when we were introduced, perhaps by a friend, to the Christian faith. And as we have that powerful experience of Christ and His love, we then reckon that we've made it, that we've understood it. But God wants us to know that was just an early step on the journey. And there is much learning and indeed unlearning of past patterns of behavior if we're to go further with Him. And one of the dangers that we encounter, as the children of Israel did, is a tendency to idealize the past. As they struggled in the desert and with the uncertainty of knowing how long their journey would be, they look back with this idealized notion of their past life in Egypt. We had pots of meat in slavery, they said. We ate all the food that we wanted. And it's almost like they've got this mental block, or they've forgotten the oppression and the harsh treatment that led them to cry out to God in the first place. Walking the Christian journey can be a difficult and a lonely place. And if you hold different values or different aspirations to your contemporaries or your colleagues or to members of your own family, that's not an easy position to take. Sometimes people say things like, life was so much easier when I had no conscience and I did exactly what I wanted all the time. And it might seem like that whenever you take a stance on some particular issue. But then there's also an inner disquiet that happens within our hearts when we know we've strayed off this journey that God has called us to. But God did hear the grumblings of the travelers, and in answering their cry, He set them a challenge. And He set them a challenge that seems truly scandalous in the part of the world in which we live in. He told them that he would supply all their needs, but they needed to trust him, and he would only give them what they needed for one day at a time, except for the sixth day, when they would be given a double portion for the next day. What a radical way to live that is. And I suppose it's kind of hard for us to visualize in the midst of the affluence in which we live. But just imagine a scenario. Imagine a scenario where our cupboards at home were bare, and we were told that God would give us enough for each day and no more. In other words, I'd have no freezer with a few meals in there in case something unexpected happens. I'd have no savings in my bank account, no credit card to help me if I was getting stuck towards the end of the month. Now, I'm not so sure, to be honest, I'd manage very well if that was the reality. But if I was forced into such a situation, one of the things I think I would have to do is to pray like never before. God provided for the Israelites, but they had to trust him, and he gave them just enough for each day. And perhaps the expectation that we have to challenge most on the Christian journey is that everything will work out smoothly for us simply because we have a Christian faith. But the truth is that it's often in the most testing of times that we feel God's presence closest to us, when we realize our need to completely depend on him. So how can we learn to live simpler and more dependent lives? During the first lockdown, I remember writing a blog about the inspiring biography that I had just read during the first lockdown of a missionary from Northern Ireland, a woman called Maud Kells. And she spent most of her life working as a midwife in the Democratic Republic of Congo. She was badly injured in her mid-70s in an attempted raid on her compound in 2015. And over the period that she lived in the Congo since 1968, this woman, Maud Kells, went through many overwhelming experiences. And what to me was so striking in her book was her complete dependence on God, her deep life of prayer to sustain her through all sorts of things, whether they were building projects, staff and equipment shortages, times of civil war and conflict, and very real personal danger. But this woman had a real sense of God's call on her life to serve people in this war-torn and poverty-ravaged land. And at each challenge and turn, she relied on God in prayer to take the next step necessary to resolve each situation as it came. Her book, An Open Door, it's an extraordinary and an inspiring read. But quite often when I think of my own life, I think I'm far more inclined to plow on in my own strength. And that would suggest that just like the Israelites, as far as I'm concerned, very often I'm unwilling to trust that Christ will be enough. So let's just pray for the humility and the grace to repent of our arrogance and to trust anew in all that Christ has done for us as we journey on with him in our daily lives. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you today for how you meet our needs. And we take some time this morning to say thank you for things that we often take for granted. We thank you for food on the table, for a roof over our heads, and for a safe and secure environment to live in. We thank you too for the gift of faith. Thank you for your church and its people, and for the freedom that we enjoy to worship without fear of persecution. We thank you too for the love and kindness of family and friends, and for the fellowship or the connection that we enjoy with those who are part of our church family with us. We pray today for David, our bishop, and we pray for your church throughout the world as we look to move forward from these times of pandemic. We want to pray especially for safety and responsibility in trying to protect each other and all our visitors. We pray this morning for our curate-elect, Reverend Andy Hay, and his family as they prepare to come and serve our congregation in September. We also pray for a humility and reverence as we, as a church, seek to serve you and our local community and further afield through our services and our activities. And we pray that many would be drawn into the peace and joy of your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world. And today we pray especially for peace in Afghanistan, where the Taliban continue to exert pressure and terrorize so many communities. We pray for the government forces as they seek to protect people. And we ask for stability in that country after so much suffering and loss of life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray today for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We remember today all who feel anxious at the present time, maybe because of a situation in their family or their workplace. We pray too for those who are undergoing medical tests and treatment. And we remember especially those separated from loved ones because of the current restrictions. We also remember in our prayers those who have been bereaved, as we remember the family and friends of Jerry Murphy, who will be laid to rest tomorrow. We ask you that you would comfort and uphold his family and friends in their time of sad loss. But we take a quiet moment now just to bring before God those people who are particularly in our thoughts, on our minds, as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. As we think of this theme of God's guiding and leading us through one day at a time, it's the theme of our next hymn, as we stand to sing, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." We bow our heads for God's blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Thank you so much to everybody for joining with us in our service today, whether you're here in the building or at home tuning in. Our closing hymn is another hymn about God's leading and his protection as we sing together, "Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us."